Verse number 1, Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Our Father, I pray that you would bless us as we study today. I pray that we would understand that we are your subjects and that we need to obey you in everything. Guide, direct, and bless in Christ's name. Amen. I love America. My desire is to see America turn back to God. I would love to see revival sweep through America and grip our nation for God as it never has before. Please understand that the message this morning is not going to be an exposition of Romans chapter number 13. Very simply put, Romans chapter 13 tells you, be a good citizen. Be the very best citizen that there is. Be the best citizen you can possibly be. Just remember, what government was in control when this was written? Rome ruled the earth. Nero ruled Rome. Not a nice place. And yet God says, be subject to the powers that be. This morning's message asks, how do we get our nation back to God? How do we really turn things around and get back to God? Will we get our nation back to God through politics or through reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Which one is going to bring our nation back to God? Don't get me wrong. We have an obligation and a responsibility to be involved in the political arena. You know me. You know I'm very involved in that and know what's going on. But we are never, never, never to put our trust in politicians or politics. Amen? It just can't happen. So number one, God's mission. Is it spiritual redemption or political reformation? What is God's purpose? What is God's plan? What is God's mission? Is His mission simply for us to politically reform our nation, or is His mission to spiritually redeem mankind? Well, the best place to find out is in the Word of God. Amen? Go in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Verse number 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, there's one check for spiritual redemption. Amen? Go to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. Verse number 15. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Two for spiritual redemption. Go to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse number 46. Luke chapter 24, verse number 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Which side do you think that one falls on? John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. Verse number 21. John chapter 20, verse number 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. How many times does the Bible have to say something before we should obey it? Just once. Here we have the Great Commission given five separate occasions. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. God wants us to be witnesses. God wants us to take the gospel to the ends of the world. God wants us to witness and win people to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. More Christians are concerned about corruption in government, wasting our taxes, national debt, the funding of evil things that take place all over the place, and they're not concerned about following God's commission. Not concerned about witnessing, giving out the gospel. You see, for some Christians, lower taxes, a strong national defense, the rollback of government regulations and a balanced budget amendment are more pressing issues than where our neighbors, family, and friends are going to spend eternity. We have gotten things a little bit backwards. Too many Christians would be pacified if somehow we returned to the 1950s, when drugs were not rampant, when pornography was not readily available, when TV and movies seemed to portray family values, even if no one has ever won to Christ. As long as we roll back the clock to some simpler time, all will be well. And God says, no, it won't. My mission is for you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Your job is to preach that gospel to everyone around you. Too many Christians would be happy if we simply had a country where Christ is accepted as lawgiver to restore order to society, when he came to be the Savior and rescue society. Jesus Christ wants to rescue the men and women and children in this world, not simply have them obeying some law. Amen? Amen. True obedience comes after salvation. God's mission is spiritual redemption. Amen. Number two, God's mission field. God's mission field. Is it America? Or is it the world? Where does God want the gospel to go? The world. John chapter 3, verse number 16. John chapter 3, verse number 16. You probably know it by heart. Let's look at it. John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved who? The world. Go in your Bible to Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5. As we study the book of Revelation in Sunday school for the last number of months, Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9, we found out this is a worship service in heaven where if you're trusted, you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're in this crowd. We are in this group. It says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God wants to save people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It's not just America. It's not just America. Yes, we were founded on Christian principles. Yes, we were founded on biblical values. Yes, they came here seeking religious freedom. But we are still to take the gospel to every creature around the world. Amen. Sad. But 10% of the world's population lives in the United States of America. We have 90% of the world's churches. We're not doing a good enough job. We're not doing a good enough job taking the gospel to the world. Do you know that in heaven there will be no American section? We're cordoned off. No, that's not going to. We are all one in Christ. From the United States and from all over the world. God desires that the world hear the gospel. Amen. God desires the world. His mission is not some kind of political reformation. His mission field is the entire world. You see, Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. But not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He died that all might be saved. He shed his blood that all might have the forgiveness of sins. God shed his blood not simply for the United States of America, but for the entire world. God desires that all be saved. Amen? Amen. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Number three, God's missionaries. God's missionaries. Is it a political party? Or is it the people of God? Who is God going to work through to see that his mission of spiritual redemption gets to all the world? Who does God desire to work through? One of the political parties we have in the United States? Not a chance. He wants to work through his people to get that job done. Amen? And who are his people? Us. Let's try that again. Who are his people? We are. We are. Let's bring it even more home. Go back to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. We read the five times that the Great Commission was given. Here is one of them again. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that ye means you, right? But that you can be so generalized that ye there can be taken. Yeah, believers should be doing that. And yeah, the people of God should be doing that. And yes, the church should be doing that. But When he said ye, he had something far more specific in mind. He meant you. So let's just change the word ye to the word me. I don't think we're doing any harm to the Word of God in doing that. So let's change the Word of God, let's change the word ye to the word me. And I want you to read it out loud with me. Verse number 15. And he said unto them, are you reading? Let's try it again. And he said unto them, go me into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To whom is this commission given? A couple of you got it. To whom is this commission given? Me. Every single me in this room. Every single me who has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Every single me who has ever been saved. We are to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. God wants to use us. Amen. God desires to use us. God does not speak through any political party. None of them. God doesn't speak through political parties. God wants to speak through you. God wants to use you to take the gospel to everyone that you know. God wants to use you to take the gospel to people around you. God wants to use you to take the gospel not only here, but around the world. We do have 90% of the churches. That's because some people aren't listening to the call of God to take the gospel around the world. Obviously, we must reach the world with the gospel. God said, go me into all the world and preach the gospel. C.S. Lewis put it bluntly. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves, who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither. That's what we've got to understand. Heaven is our home. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And we are going to live in eternity far longer than we live here on planet Earth in the United States of America, in Connecticut, and God wants us to live for eternity. How do we do that? We've got to realize that people are eternal. Things are not. Ideas are really not. People are eternal. God wants to save them from here, all around us, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we, you, me, all of the me's here are His missionaries. Someone said, every heart with Christ is a missionary. And every heart without Christ is a mission field. Go me into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When the world was exceedingly wicked, God raised up Noah. When knowledge of God was seemingly lost, God raised up Abraham. When the chosen people were weary in Egypt because of the bondage they were under, God raised up Moses. When New England was turning away from God, God raised up Jonathan Edwards. Does God love the people of our day and age any less? No. Who does God want to raise up? Everyone say me. That's who God wants to use. Can revival come again? Can a great spiritual awakening race through our country once again, spreading to the entire world? Yes. It certainly can. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Verse number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. The promise is specifically to Israel. The principle is timeless. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Who, if my people? Who is he referring to there? Everyone say, me. Who's he referring to there? Me. If I, is what he's saying. Read it that way. If I, called by thy name, shall humble myself and pray and seek your face, turning from my wicked ways, then you can hear from heaven. Then you can forgive our sin, my sin, and heal our You see, it's too easy to do the us thing, the we thing, the they thing, and especially the church thing. If they, if we, if the church, no, if I, me, that's who God wants to use. Amen? God wants to use you. Let me ask you, do you think God wants revival in the United States of America? No question. God wants it. Do we? Do we? Do you? That's the question. Not the corporate we. Me. Can God turn America around? He starts with me. Someone once said, how do you start revival? Well, you draw an 18-inch circle on the ground. You stand in that circle and you start to pray. God, send revival to this circle. Start with me. Start with me. And then it can spread. But it must start with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you so much for the salvation that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross, laying his life down, allowing his body to be broken and his blood to be shed that we might have everlasting life. Lord, you saved us as individuals. You used individuals to bring the gospel to us. I pray that we'd understand that is your mission. And we are your missionaries. We, me, I must fulfill that great responsibility and yet that great privilege. Help us to understand it will not get done if we wait for someone else to do it. It will not get done if we're hoping they take part. All of the us's join in. No, me. I must do my part. I must humble myself. I must seek your face. I must turn from my wicked ways. I must pray. Lord, I pray you'd impress that upon all of our hearts, that we might see revival in our hearts and in our land. Work in every heart. Work in every individual. Help us to understand the importance of our being right with you. Guide, direct, bless every decision that we make. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. You're with us today and you say, Pastor, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. I know that Jesus Christ is mine. You're saved. Put your hand up as a testimony to that fact. Just slip your hand up. Put it back down. Amen. God bless you. That's great. You've trusted Christ as Savior. Amen. That's wonderful. Christian, you are now a missionary. You, an individual missionary that God has commissioned to take his message of redemption to people around you. And yes, to the ends of the earth. What are you doing about it? What are you doing with it? God wants you to pray, to seek his face, to turn from your wicked ways, to humble yourself. What are you doing that revival might come to our land? God wants it. Do you? You say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. The Lord has spoken to my heart this morning. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Yes. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. God's spoken to me today. I want to make sure that I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anyone else? Just put your hand up, put it back down. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know you're going to heaven. You don't know that your sins are forgiven. You don't know you're saved. You say, Pastor, I don't know that. I'm not sure of that. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone like that? Slip your hand up. We love you here. We want to pray for you. But that doesn't measure up to the love that Jesus Christ has for you. He died in your place. He paid your sin penalty in full. And he desires to save you. Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all, just slip your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Our Father, again, we thank you for Christ. We thank you, Lord, for our country, for the privilege you've given to us to live here. Lord, we need to be busy. seeking your face that revival might come to our land. I pray that we would be busy sharing the gospel, that we might change individual hearts and lives as Jesus Christ saves them, and in turn, changing our nation. But Lord, not just our nation. Our world needs Christ. Work in every heart. Draw each one of us to you right now. Meet every need. If there's anyone here who has never trusted you as their personal Savior, convict them. Show them their need. Draw them to Jesus Christ this morning. Bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 390. 390. As we sing this hymn of invitation, we invite you to respond to God's working in your heart. What does God want you to do? What has the Holy Spirit impressed upon your heart to do? What decision would He have you as an individual make this morning? We're going to sing. As we do, the invitation is open. Just come to the front, pour your heart out to God, speak to Him, make that decision. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come to the front. I'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can know that Jesus Christ is yours. Right now, as we sing verse number one, you come.